This is Metal Mike, and in this episode of the 80s Glam Metal Cast, we have an epic hair metal battle.
Gokken versus Wrath.
I'm joined by Aaron from the website Loud Sound Epicenter, and together we sort it all out. We pit the first four albums against each other and the individual members as well. We have a blast talking through it. Now stay tuned after the discussion to see a sneak peek of me, Metal Mike, singing and playing bass with my friends Travis and Ken on a cover of Poison's Fallen Angel. Check it out. So Aaron, welcome to the 80s Glam Metal Cast. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Hey, no problem. Well, we're going to get into a big epic battle, a big epic hairband battle. But before we do all that, why don't you tell everybody what you do, man? You have a site called Loud Sound Epicenter, and it's a super cool hub for like rock and metal. Tell everybody about the site.
That's right. So I mainly do album reviews and interviews along with some music news, along kind of similar to Ultimate Classic Rock. And I also do some music commentary mixed in.
And how long you been doing this for? It's been quite a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a long way in the making since I was in ninth grade a couple years back. So probably since 2013.
You're a younger man, right, man? How old are you?
Yeah, I'm 21 years old.
Okay.
So I'm a little younger for this audience.
Well, that's cool, man. It's cool that somebody younger is, carrying on the torch for hard rock and heavy metal. So what made you want to come onto this podcast? Well, why the 80s Glam Metal Cast?
Well, I've been following you for quite some time on my Twitter account. I saw you were putting out some good content, and I just recently saw you doing some episodes of your own on YouTube, and watching a lot of the rock and metal commentators on YouTube, I thought you were putting out some good stuff, and I wanted to join the conversation.
Well, man, I appreciate that. You're on my good side. I like that. I've been kicking this idea around for a while, and I've been trying to find the right person to discuss this with, and I think you're the right guy, man. But I think a Dokken versus Rat episode just would be smart because, you know, there's so many great songs, great albums by these guys. A lot of their releases are kind of right around the same time. A lot of great players, too, on both sides of the fence for Dokken and Rat. And they were both big, but they never really attained the status that like Crew, Bon Jovi, or Death Leppard had. I mean, they had their success, but I wouldn't put them in that same level of success. Do you agree with that? Or
yeah, I think in terms of music sales, they don't quite triumph with some of the best selling. But as far as content and songwriting, I would say that they're a lot better than those bands that did make it to superstardom. So, you know, that's the way it goes in the music industry.
Yeah,
what sells.
Yeah, and I know for me, and you might feel the same way, some of the bands that are the more rare bands, those were the ones I always gravitated to anyways. You know, I always liked bands like Keel and Lillian X and, you know, bands like that. But a lot of people didn't know who those bands were. So, see, I was there when it was all going on, Aaron. I was there for all these bands. It was good times.
Yeah, man, it's good to have some in-person experience because somebody as young as me could never really themselves in your shoes who saw it firsthand.
Yeah, it was, you know, and it's funny is because at the time you didn't know it. You know, it's like when you're living through something, you don't know like how iconic and how classic this is going to look, you know, years later. Because for us who grew up in the 80s, you know, we were shamed in the 90s, you know, like hair metal was bad and heavy metal was bad. So, you know, not that you really believed it, but it had an effect on all of it. And then, you know, you get 30 years away from it and it's like, wow, those were some great concerts, great albums, the whole MTV thing. It was good stuff. There's no joke.
Yeah, it's kind of a blessing for my generation. We were never persecuted the way you guys were, so we kind of dodged the bullet on that.
Well, let's bust right into this, man. And I think the best way to go is to pit their first four albums against each other. So this would be, and I'm talking about the full-length albums. Each had an EP that came out before their first full-length album, but I thought the full-length album would be a great place to start. What are your thoughts on Breaking the Chains?
Sure. Well, Breaking the Chains, I think it's good, not great, because to me they got so much better after this album.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it's got some of their greatest songs that could possibly rank with their best, like Knight Rider and Paris, I start to notice the cliches a little more on this album with stuff like Young Girls and even in the middle to an extent. So you know, those aren't bad songs, but I can definitely hear that this is their first studio album, especially when against something like Out of the Cellar.
And I'll get your thoughts on Out of the Cellar in a second. And the funny thing is we've got Juan Crozier is in Dokken at this point, and then he ends up, you know, going full-time in Rat. So kind of a strange connection right there between the two bands, you know?
Yeah, that's right. It's a little odd.
Now, Breaking the Chains, from everything that I'm reading about it, is it was actually out, I don't know if it came out in France or it came out overseas or something like that, a few years before the American release. In a lot of ways, it's similar to Too Fast for Love. So there was an original version, and then they kind of took some of that and re-recorded parts, remixed parts. So it reminds me of that in some ways. But I don't think that Dokken is 100% there yet. You know what I mean? Some bands come real strong right out of the gate. Their first album is huge. You know, something like Guns N' Roses, you know, they were pretty much in the zone, you know, right when they came out. Dokken, though, I don't think it's there yet. There's great songs, like you mentioned some, and, you know, no one's going to deny that Breaking the Chains, you know, is a great song. And it's a song that's probably picked up steam a lot more over the years than when it was originally released. I like a lot of these songs. In the Middle, Felony, I Can't See You. But for me, this album, it just kind of loses me as it gets going. Like, I feel like I'm liking it. But once again, knowing what some of the other Dokken albums sound like, this would be one, you know what I mean? I really would. This isn't my go-to Dokken album, and I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, I hear you, man. You know, I do got to give them props for doing a funk-sounding song with Felony, as you just said, or at least that's how it sounds to me when I hear that riff.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a little bit of groove there for sure. So now, I mean, this is a tough matchup here. I don't know how anything can really go against Out of the Cellar. What do you think about Out of the Cellar?
Well, Out of the Cellar, to tell you the truth, I don't think there's any filler start to finish. So it's really hard for me to criticize it in any way. I don't think I would skip any of these if I was listening to this album.
No, man.
So yeah, I think this is their masterpiece.
I believe you're right. That, you know, Rat is totally in the zone here. You're right. Every song kicks ass. There's no throwaways. And another thing, and I didn't say too much about it with Dokken, but sonically, this album destroys Breaking the Chains. To me, when I listen to this production from Bo Hill, it's just spot on. It sounds so good. And I think that's really one of the key things that's lacking with Breaking the Chains. It just doesn't have the production. But yeah, I mean, we're talking, you know, iconic hits like Round and Round and the awesome riff of Lack of Communication. But you're right. When I went through this album and I'm like, oh my God, I know every one of these songs is good. You know what I mean? There's no clunkers on this. You can go all the way through. And so I'm saying, for me, Out of the Cellar destroys Breaking the Chains. Are you with me on that one?
Yeah, I agree. You know, the MTV songs are on there, of course, and even the deep cuts, which we'll probably be saying that a lot throughout this episode, is deep cuts are also just as good.
Yeah, and you know, when you look at, totally, songs like The Morning After and, you know, You're in Trouble and She Wants Money. I mean, it's like I said, every song is awesome, and I'm not saying that they all were played on radio, but they could have been because they just were all well-written songs, catchy tunes.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so we are both on the same page with Rat. That's good. Okay, I like it. Tooth and Nail, a big improvement in my book. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. And from this point onward, you might notice which band I like more overall. But yeah, Tooth and Nail is a big step up from Breaking the Chains. It has the least amount of filler out of all their classic albums overall.
Mm-hmm.
It's got less ballads than the albums that came after it. And they really focus on their heavy side, this follow-up. So I think this is a really heavy album specifically.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I like Tooth and Nail. Like I said, big improvement with the songwriting, big improvement with the production. Crazy thing with this one is that it sounds like, from what, once again, just stuff that I'm reading, I don't claim to be a wizard about all the backstory of Dokken, but, you know, there's no secret that there's been infighting between Don and George, and it sounds like they couldn't be in the studio at the same time through this album. And I think Tom Warman was originally producing it, and then Roy Thomas Baker came in to kind of finish it off because it seems like there was some kind of conflict, I think, between George and Tom. Who knows? But it just sounds like the internal problems were brewing, you know, all the way back to this album, which is kind of crazy. But I got to say, There's something about this album that just doesn't win me over, and I can't really explain it. I'm sure, like, there's the hardcore Dokken fans are, like, booing and hate my guts right now. But, I mean, I know the songs. There's a lot of great songs. Into the Fire, When Heaven Comes Down, Tooth and Nail. I mean, there's great stuff. But for some reason, at least for me, like, it's still not there yet, at least for the kind of Dokken sound that I'm really into. So it's good, an improvement, but for me, I'm not there yet with Dokken, even with this album, which is crazy, right?
Yeah, I agree. I've heard some people say this is the best album, which on a technical level, I can see there's not as much filler. I see that point, but it's also, I think the strong songs don't quite reach the level as some of the later strong songs on the next few albums. So that's, I totally agree that it's never really been my favorite.
Yeah, there's just something about it that just doesn't register with me, and I'm not really sure what it is. Now, what about Invasion of Your Privacy? What do you think about this one?
Well, to tell you the truth, I like the first two songs on Invasion better than the first two songs on Out of the Cellar. I don't know what you think of that, but I think that is one of the coolest openings on a glam metal album. I even like some of the latter half of the album. There's a little bit of a drop-off for me towards the end.
Yeah.
A lot of the songs get a little repetitive, and they're all phrases, which I thought was a little corny, even back in high school. So, it's still a strong album overall, but it is kind of the first album again. So there's that.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's no Out of the Cellar. You know what I mean? So we're coming off something super, super, super strong, and it's definitely not as strong as that one. But you're right, man. You're in Love, killer riff. Great song. It probably does start off stronger, and Lay It Down as a classic tune as well. And then there's a lot of cool songs, you know, like you're right, it kind of fades out as it gets going, but Never Use Love, Give It All, Closer to My Heart. There's some cool songs. And I even say, I'm going to say sonically, this destroys Tooth and Nail. I still think it sounds better. So whatever Bull Hill was doing, or I don't know if Atlantic was giving these guys a bigger production money or what, but it's just sonically better. It sounds better to me.
Yeah, it is a pretty strong album. And even with the second side of that album, for me getting a little repetitive, I still love Between the Eyes and, like you said, Closer to Your Heart. Even though that's not as heavy, it's still interesting. And musically, like you said, the songwriting was still pretty strong for the band at that time.
So between these two, which one are you going with?
You know, I got to go with Dokken.
Okay.
To tell you the truth, I'll go with the heavy. It's a little more heavier, so I think I got to go with that one.
I was really torn. Like, I didn't know what to do with this one because I in a lot of ways, they were almost equals. But then I want to say, like I said, the Sonics I thought were better. Like, it's a better album to listen to with the production, the Rat. But then I also felt like there's just something that bothers me about Tooth and Nail that I can't put my finger on. So I had to go Rat again, man. So it was Rat. So we're different. All right. I like it. Okay. It's a little bit different. Under Lock and Key.
All right. Well, Under Lock and Key, to me, this was probably my favorite album from Dokken for a while. That's changed since then. But to me, it's a great middle ground between Tooth and Back to the Attack. It's with all the catchy melodic songs,
yep,
with some of the heavy parts mixed in. So I like it. It's a perfect kind of intermediate album between the two albums.
Yeah, and you know, you figure now we're hitting the glam era pretty heavy. Dokken has, you know, definitely changed their image a bit to fit in with kind of like what Motley Crue was doing with Theater of Pain. I think, you know, I keep talking about the production value. I feel like we finally got it with this one. The production is really good. It's where it needs to be for Dokken, and that just helps the whole thing. But I think song-wise, I think we're writing some better songs with this one. It's, you know, In My Dreams is awesome. Unchain the Night is probably one of my favorite Dokken songs. It's so good. It's Not Love. You got some heavy rockers like Lightning Strikes Again. And even the ones that somebody might say are sleeper songs, I like them, man. Like Jaded Heart and Will the Sun Rise. Those are all good tunes. I mean, like I said, once again, they're not powerhouses or anything, but I can go through this whole album and enjoy every song. So for me, I don't want to give it away yet, but I really like this one. Now, what about Dancing Undercover?
Dancing Undercover, you know, me and a friend of mine, we've gone back and forth about this. Might be Rat's second best album overall, and not, I would definitely have to agree, especially that first half and a little bit of that second. It's very strong. It's a lot heavier than Invasion, I think. And, yeah, it's very close. To me, this is the hardest comparison between the two bands, because this is two of their strongest, I think, overall. Yeah.
Now, here's where I'm going to really drop off the cliff here with Rat. And I'm not a big fan of this album. I don't really like it. Yeah, and like especially the song Dance, I'm going to say I really don't like that song. I won't say the word hate because I just love Rat, and I talked with Stephen Piercy before. He's a great guy. So I won't say I hate the song Dance, but I don't like it. But there are some good ones like Drive Me Crazy, I think is pretty good. Slip of the Lip is a decent single, but I don't know. So you see where you were kind of going with Invasion of Your Privacy? Like you feel like it's kind of going, you know, it's losing you as it's going. That's what this album does for me. Like, I don't know, like the later songs, I kind of pick through some of them and I'm like Seventh Avenue and all these, they just don't even register with my brain. Like, I don't know. So for me, this is my least favorite Rat album. I just don't like this album. Like I said, a couple okay singles. The lead-off single, Dance, I can't get into it. And for me, I'm just not feeling this one, man. Not feeling Dancing Undercover. So for me, I'm under lock and key all the way. Who are you going with?
I got to go with Under Lock and Key.
Yeah.
I was a little more hesitant than you are, but yeah, I hear you on Dancing Undercover. The last like three songs for me, I feel you with the repetitiveness. But yeah, I love Body Fog. I think that's one of their best songs.
That's a good song. It
Looking
is.
For Love. You know, some of these song titles, I thought they were going to be slower songs, but they were actually pretty heavy.
Yeah.
There's another one on the first side that I'm blanking on right now. But yeah, Under Lock and Key, that song is a lot more nostalgic for me. I remember playing that a lot more and Dancing Undercover. So yeah, I'm a little more personally connected with that album for sure.
So we get to Back for the Attack, and you know, this whole matchup with between the next two is really, really tough for me, but I don't know, man. I think Back for the Attack could be Dokken's best album. You know, every song just kicks ass. So before I get into it, what do you think?
Yeah, I had to fight a lot of people on this one back in the day. But yeah, Back to the Attack has become my favorite one over time. It's really grown on me. Just right off the bat with that, their best opening album opener, which, you know, Dokken is the king of album openers.
Mm-hmm.
Every song, even in the 2000s, they still kept that tradition going. Just the awesome Kiss of Death, awesome. And just everything after even the songs that aren't singles, but they sound like singles, like Standing in the Shadows.
Yeah.
The heavier stuff, like Cry of the Gypsy.
Oh, and love
the heavy Mr. Scary. It's one of their heaviest albums. To me, it has all their best songs on it. So it's an easy victory for Dokken.
Yeah, Kiss of Death, man, is such a good jam. And it's, I mean, some of these songs that as you go, that's a normal thing where maybe you just, it wouldn't even register some of these songs, you know, like people would look at them as throwaways, but I think they're great. Like you said, they could be singles. So Many Tears, Heaven Sent was a single and it's a very cool bluesy song. Lost Behind the Wall. I mean, it's just, damn, man. And it's honestly, and a lot of people don't like this song, but Dream Warriors is probably like my favorite Dokken song. I love Dream Warriors. I'm so glad they threw Dream Warriors on Back for the Attack. I actually remember buying Dream Warriors as like a 12-inch single. And I think the B-side is the song Back for the Attack, which ultimately did not make the album Back for the Attack, which is kind of odd. But I think, you know, once again, growing up during that time period and watching the Freddy Krueger movies and that song, it's just got a cool, eerie vibe. And that's where I think, what I like about George Lynch, you know, he definitely has those kind of, you know, they're the rock riffs, but they're kind of evil sounding at times. You know what I mean? He plays like in minors a lot. And it's just, I love the kind of riffs that he does.
Oh yeah. George Lynch for me has always been one of the best guitarists, period. I put him up there with Eddie Van Halen. He's always stood out to me, one of the best tones in metal. And yeah, like you said, the melodic moments really stand out with that tone. So yeah, totally agree.
What about Reach for the Sky? What do you think?
You know, Reach for the Sky, this was the first time when I was listening to Rat start to finish that, to me, this is when they got the first big drop-off. There is a lot of strong songs on it. Like, I've always loved Way Cool Jr., even if it's a little cliche. And Bottom Line. There's some strong stuff on there. To me, it really starts to drop off even more so than the previous album. But I find that a lot of their Rat's albums, kind of, there's a big drop-off halfway through. And that's okay, but yeah, to me it was very noticeable on this album. So it's a very mixed bag for me.
It's weird. The thing that comes to mind right now is I remember buying a T-shirt for this album back in the day, and it it had the Red Rat logo, and it had a picture of them from this era, and it had Reach for the Sky written on the bottom. And that was such a cool t-shirt. But that just came out of my mind out of nowhere. But I wonder if you can buy a replica of that shirt, because I think I would like to get it. But, you know, this is going to sound crazy. I don't think it's their best, but it's probably my favorite. And once again, it might have just been the time period, catching it, you know, at the right time. But I would put this – I know it's not better than Out of the Cellar. I would never say that. People would want to kill me if I said that. But it's probably my favorite. I just like it. I like City to City, I Want a Woman. I think this album – see, where you said Dancing Undercover was heavy, I thought like this album had some more balls in a lot of spots, like Bite the Hand That Feeds You, Chain Reaction – What's It Gonna Be? It's a wicked cool song, man. I don't know. So something about these songs. This one is almost reminds me similar to Under Lock and Key, where it just has that same kind of vibe for me where I like every song, even though I know they're not the greatest songs in the world. And, you know, they don't, maybe this album doesn't compare to their best. I enjoy it. It's a good listen. I can listen to the whole thing. And I think what was going on with this one, which and I think Steven might have talked about this with me, I can't really remember, but I know I read it, is that Bo Hill, they were trying to kind of get away from him. And I think they were working with producer Mike Stone. And then when those demos got to Atlantic were like, no, got to have Bo Hill back. And once again, you know, Bo Hill was there to produce. And he produced, you know, well, he's produced all four of these albums that we talked about. He's a great producer. He's done a lot of great things with Winger, Warren. I mean, the list is endless.
Yeah, he's definitely – I was reading about him in I think the book is called Bankhead. It's a book I just recently found going over the Sunset Strip scene. And, yeah, this producer, he really knows what he's doing with all these – catching these bands at the right time in their career. And, yeah, it's definitely noticeable on this album.
So right now your pick is Dokken, correct?
Yeah, got to be Dokken.
So – just to get everyone up to speed on albums, okay, we've got, you're going for Rat with your first one, which I did as well, Dokken all the way down after for you, where I went Rat and Dokken, and maybe I'm just being diplomatic, right, but I'm at a tie between these four albums. I'm at a tie. Now, here's a quick one. We'll just do real quick. There's no Dokken album, not for a long time, after Back for the Attack. But if you had to put Don Dokken's solo album from 1990 against Rat Detonator, what would you pick?
Yeah, Up From the Ashes?
Yeah.
Album? Yeah, I would say easily I would also give that one to Dokken. I was just re-listening to it. And yeah, that's a very strong album musically. And to tell you the truth, man, I'm not a big fan of Detonator. To me, that's kind of the beginning of the end of the band.
Yeah.
And yeah, to me, the Don Dokken solo album, if you could just imagine back then what a Don Dokken solo album would be. To me, I think that's what most fans would want to hear, is exactly how that album sounds. So, yeah. I'd also give that to Don.
Yeah, that's a tough one, man. I might say it's a tie, because I kind of know where you're going with Detonator, because there were times where I was kind of thinking like, some of this might be a little corny, you know? But when I went back and listened to it, there's a lot of good songs, and especially Giving Yourself Away. When I went back and revisited that, you know, in recent times, that's a really cool song, really well-written song. And I know Desmond Child had his hands on that album. So pretty – I don't know, man. I like the songwriting. There are a lot of cool, catchy songs on Detonator. But, man, I don't know. Up From the Ashes or no, what's the first – Crash and Burn. I'm sorry. Crash and Burn, great song. Mirror, Mirror. Oh, man. Down in Flames. Ooh, I don't know, Aaron. It's tough, dude. I don't know. I'm going to put that one as a tie, but that wasn't going to be one I was going to, you know,
include
in all this.
Now, right now, I want to take a minute and talk about doing some good deeds in your area. What I want you to be is a hunger destroyer. Yeah, there's a lot of hungry people all around the country, and one way you can help is by donating to the local food bank. One thing we've done where I work, as co-workers, we've challenged each other to bring in items and challenge our customers as well. And in turn, we put up a table, put up a sign, explain what we're doing. Lots of people bring in things. And I tell you, when we deliver it to the food bank, it's very appreciated. So I'm sending out a challenge to you to do the same. Let me know how you make out. Rock on!
So we kind of know where we stand with these four key albums. But let's talk about the members themselves. When you look at the drums for these guys, would you go Wild Mick Brown or would you go Bobby Blotzer?
You know, honestly, even then, I think I got to give it to the Wild Mick Brown, because with all his work he's done throughout his career with Ted Nugent as well.
Yeah.
I think I would side with him over Blaster.
See, for me, and I don't know why this is, I can't, how do I put this? I can't really differentiate between the two. I mean, what I'm trying to say is I know who they both are, but I don't. I think they're just both solid, but they don't, like, there's nothing that's insane about how they play. You know, there's certain players, you know, where, like, okay, I'll give you an example. Somebody like Eric Carr, okay? For me, Creatures of the Night is the best drum album ever. That's for me. You know what I mean? So for me, you know, Eric Carr can top a lot of lists when it comes to drummers. There's something there that really stands out. I think both these guys are great. I don't think there's any issues with them, but on any of these albums that we've discussed, I would never say that the drums made the idea of the albums. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I think they're competent, but I don't know what about them really stands out even from one another. You know what I mean?
I definitely hear you. It was never something I zeroed in on when listening to either of albums from these bands. So yeah, it's not, to me, it's not a big part of the sound, but obviously I appreciate the contributions from both of them.
So I would put it, just out of fairness, I think I'd put it as a draw, because I can't, like I said, they just, I think they're both solid, and I couldn't see why one would be better than another. How about on bass? We got Juan or Jeff?
Well, Jeff Filson, he's one of those musicians from the 80s who's kind of in every band. And so, yeah, I think I've definitely noticed his tone, especially compared to Juan. I think he stands out a lot more overall.
Yeah, I would go Jeff, too. I mean, I think Juan is cool. And, you know, back in the day, he always had a cool look and everything. But Jeff, yeah, I feel like he's really a real strong vocalist. And I know Juan is, too. I mean, once again, I might find myself going down the same road here, but I just think there's something about Jeff, and I think of maybe the way he's carried himself beyond Doc, and, you know, as a producer and in Foreigner and all this kind of stuff. So something about Jeff just stands out to me more than it does with Juan. But Juan does have a cool voice. There are, you know, I think back to, I want to say it's in Lack of Communication, where, you know, he'll sing like a lead line and all that kind of stuff. So he's really good and a cool player. But yeah, I'm with you, man. I think I would go, I'd go Pileson for that one. All right, but those are the easier ones. All right, here's where I get. and God bless Robin Crosby. There was no one to pit him against, so I kept him out of it. Let's go vocals, because I feel like the guitar part one is the craziest match. So vocals, Don or Steven?
You know, I like Steven. It's a cool, raspy voice. But to me, I've always noticed that there's not a whole lot of range. And there is some range. He does have high notes, of course. But to me, Don Dokken is the king of glam metal vocals. I think he's one of the best singers that I've heard. So I got to side with Dokken yet again.
Yeah, it's so tough with this one, because if I think of, like, coolness and the character voice, because I've talked about this a lot on the podcast, there's those character voices. It's not saying it, they're not a joke. It's just they're very distinct characters, you know, and with somebody like Alice Cooper, you know what I mean? It's a very distinct voice, and it's a super cool voice, but you wouldn't go and say that Alice Cooper is in the same stratosphere as Freddie Mercury when it comes to range or something like that. So I think, like, the coolness award goes to Steven. But I think, you know, when it comes to, like you've said, you know, that the range and the more dynamic voice is probably Don. So, you know, I know we're not giving out participation awards. So I guess I gotta go Don, but I can't deny how cool Steven Piercy's voice is. And it's perfect for the music. It'd be like try to flip flop it. Put Don Dokken on Out of the Cellar. I don't think it would work. You know what I mean? So, but it's just, I think it's perfect for where it is, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Now, this is the tough one, man. This one could be debated to the end of time, and it's always going to come down to a personal preference. But is it Warren or is it George?
Yeah, this is very tough, you know? And with George Lynch, you know, he's done a lot of projects, so you can definitely hear his evolution over the years with Lynch Mob and so on. The Michael Sweet stuff, Sweet and Lynch,
yep.
That's another testament to his ability. You know, man, I think, and this might be a bold statement, but I think George Lynch can do anything that Robin and Warren can do. So I got to give it to George Lynch.
Giving it to George. You know, this is a tough one. And I think for me, it just goes to preference, because I think Warren is awesome. you know, between his riffs and his soloing, it's really distinct. Yeah. When you, especially the solos, you know it's him. You know, and he has a good sense, you know, of playing. He's got some blues influence. But there's something about Lynch. Like I said, I like those kind of, you know, that just a little bit more eerie sounds at times. And you know, just more metallic riffs maybe, where Warren maybe a little bit more bluesy riffs. George is a lot more metal. And I don't know. Like I said, I think just, you know, Mr. Scary kind of sums it up. He just plays more of those. It's not like it's evil. It's not Slayer. You know what I mean? It's not that kind of stuff. But it's just got a dark side to it. I think that's the best way to put it. You know, he has a dark side to his playing, where Warren is more bright. You know, that's where it's more fun. You know, where I feel like, you know, Lynch is just a little bit more of a darker player and heavier and just really cool, man. So I got to give it to him. Yeah, I would give it to George. And just, I guess when you go and dissect these bands, you just realize how amazing both are and how important they are to 80s metal.
Yeah, these two bands, you know, I can't remember not knowing either one of them. These are two great bands to get into at a young age. And yeah, I never really noticed how hard it is to really put them up against each other, because they both really bring something new to the table. And they both do similar styles, mm-hmm. but really in their own unique way. So they're both very cool.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, Rat, I think, pulls off the whole L.A. thing a lot better, where Dokken tends to be a little bit more mature or, you know, emotional. I don't know if that's the right way to put it. But Don writes some real moody songs. And I guess that fits with, like I said, the stuff that I was saying about George. So I think as much as if they can't deal with each other as people, it was a good musical match for sure.
Yeah, I think when Rat tries to do the moody stuff, it doesn't quite work as well, but maybe that's kind of the art of the two bands, is, you know, they kind of have their own lane that they stay in, and Dokken can do a lot of the heavier and melodic stuff, and Rad is really good with the bluesy heavy stuff, so it might be apples and oranges to compare the two.
So basically, without breaking it all down completely, I kind of tied it out with those four albums that we talked about. You leaned a little bit more toward Dokken, and I think both of us lean toward the Dokken guys as the player. So Aaron, for this discussion, man, Dokken is the winner.
Yeah, Dokken. You know, I did anticipate that's the way it was going to be, but I wasn't too sure. I know that I know you love Rat, I love Rat, but yeah, put them up against each other, it's close because we usually don't compete them.
Yeah, and it was funny, at least in my looking at the catalog, or at least that section of it, it was funny how I don't care that much for those first two albums, but then I really love Under Lock and Key and Back for the Attack. Like, it's kind of weird that I, you know, it kind of struck me as odd, where like Rat, I can look at them, where aside from, I just, like I said, I don't like Dancing Undercover. Most of the rest of them are all just good. I don't have, you know, I don't see that same kind of feelings about at least that section of the catalog. But man, for something about those first two Dokken albums, they're just not there for me. And then as soon as we hit Under Lock and Key, it's like, yep, this is my Dokken right here. But then somebody who got into them maybe earlier than I did would say, no, man, I like the heavier stuff that's on Tooth and Nail. So it's all whatever you're exposed to. It's got to be tough for you because, like I said, you're younger, so you're getting exposed to the whole catalog in one shot.
Yeah, it's very overwhelming to put it all in its proper context. But, you know, I think you might even agree with this. The comparing Dokken and Rat's discographies, in some ways, you know, Dokken got better and better as they went along. In some ways, Rat kind of got worse and worse as they, you know, get into the 90s. And
yeah.
So I love them, of course. But I just noticed those classic songs start to wither away with each album. And so I like most of their stuff. But yeah, I just noticed that when going through their albums start to finish, you can see the evolution of the band.
So one last thing I'd like to quiz you, because like I said, you're pretty knowledgeable on all this stuff. How did you get into this stuff? Do you have a parent that is big into hard rock and heavy metal, or older siblings, cousins? How did you discover this music?
Yeah, it was two main things. It was a concerted effort from my parents, I think, what they played in the car. But also, this kind of hasn't really been talked about in the metal community, but, you know, a lot of the video games that came out in the 2000s when I was growing up, there was a lot of throwback to 80s bands and nostalgic for, you know, the classic rock and heavy metal at that time. So you know, those two things just kind of, I gravitated towards that kind of music because I was basically led on that path with, you know, the Grand Theft Auto soundtrack has a lot of 80s and 90s rock and metal. So I just naturally grew to appreciate that stuff and listen to it a lot more.
Did you take it to a level beyond where your parents ever were when it comes to knowledge of music?
You know, I like to think so. I don't know if they would agree so much. You know, it's a little insulting to say, you know, you were there when they were in their prime and me who was born after the legacy, you know. But, you know, the Generation Z, we got a bit of an edge. We can really listen to these albums with 2020 vision. So, yeah, I'd say I might be a cut above in some ways.
One more time, tell everybody your website address.
Sure. You can find me at loudsoundepicenter.com or on Twitter as L Epicenter.
Awesome. Well, hey, man, I'm impressed by your musical knowledge. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep inspiring all people to you know, get into this music and enjoy it. You know, all the things that all of us do, whether it be websites or podcasts or sharing things on Facebook or Twitter, that keeps it alive, and it's a good way for fans to connect with each other. So keep doing what you're doing, and I really enjoyed talking with you, and thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, it was great talking to you too, man. Thank you so much.
That was a blast talking through the Dokken versus Rat matchup. And make sure you click the link in the description to see the full video of our cover of Poison's Fallen Angel. It's been many years since I did anything like that, and I hope we can do a lot more down the road. Rock on!